Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We are here this week with Dennis Hagen from Toledo Spirit Hunters. Welcome, Dennis. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
Awesome. Well, we'll just kind of jump into things a little bit here. Now, I know that you do haunted items is what you're concentrating on currently, but you've done a lot of different investigations, and you're about two and a half years out now into the investigation world?
Yes, I am. I'm about two and a half years out. Yep.
So being a new investigator, obviously you bring in a lot of new perspectives because we don't start with training manuals. We don't start with books a lot of times. Most of us don't have the privilege of being able to do what I did, which was hacking the minds of scientists and universities and some of the grandfathers that, God rest their soul, aren't around anymore, that started the paranormal investigations early on. So being new to the investigation world has probably been a unique career for you. I know when I first started out, I ran into both positives and negatives. I had no real guideline or training course. I had no real aspect, so I had to kind of get a feel for things. And when you're getting a feel for things out there in the world, there's a lot of things that you run into, especially from senior investigators, universities, scientists, and so forth, that that make you go, well, gee, thanks for being so mean.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I have nothing against, you know, the scientific side of things of the paranormal. But my thing is with the scientific side of things is that, you know, you have your theories, but where's your proof? Show the proof versus the theory. You see what I'm saying?
Well, the big thing that I don't think people understand with Bruce and listeners, this is something that for 23 years I've actually ran this battle. The word proof in the paranormal is tough to actually do, and here's the reason why. And most people that start, and a lot of seasoned investigators don't understand this because they didn't have the chance of being in the 23-year-old investigation field when there were actually scientists that were digging deep into this. You can't really come up with proof for a ghost. I'm just going to be very upfront with all the listeners and everybody who's there, and I'm going to tell you why. Here's the reality. Ghost is a term. A term means non-physical apparition or presence. It also means a lot of other things. But basically what that narrows down to is like space and time. It's a word we put together to define something that we don't know. In order to come up with proof for something, we have to define what we need for that proof. So you got to kind of dig in really, really deep when you're doing investigation. In fact, I was just discussing that with Team Rat, which is operational, just so the listeners know. Jay Pierce will update you a little bit on that, but Rat will be doing some investigations. There are some new members involved that I will allow him to present. But, you know, little things that people don't think about are lost from the old science. A lot of people get a misunderstanding. Like, you're new to the world of investigation. Fairly new, 2 years in. So you're raised in the world a lot of times where science becomes what people a lot of times call theory. So you back it with, hey, a theory's nice and dandy, but a theory's basically guessing. And that's the truth. The theory's guessing, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Science is different than theory. Theory comes along with science. But science and the paranormal go hand in hand. What you really have to do, and this is what I train and teach people in on a regular basis, is collect that data, collect that information, and find the physical things that apply. Because we don't know what a ghost is yet. We don't really know, to be frankly honest with you, that a ghost is an apparition of a human being that is passed on. We just assume it is. But I can't tell you that that's the case because I can't prove it.
Yeah.
There's no way to prove that. But what I can tell you is when I collect the data and the information, what matches logical and what matches illogical. And I tell this to everybody. I'm sure you probably saw me say that on your site. I say it on RTP all the time. Data is the exclusive thing that you have to you have to really concentrate on when you're truly in paranormal study. And it's the one thing a lot of people lack, and a lot of younger people between 2 and 5 years really don't get the coaching on, because you're on your own. And you started this by yourself, if I had to guess. You probably found somebody else with a passion to build a team. And you're doing things the way you think is right because there's no training manual.
Yeah.
That's how I did it. And trust me, when I did it, I got a boatload of slack. I mean, a boatload of slack. The first year I went out, and I was already 10 years into the paranormal, just so that everybody's aware and listeners. I was 10 years into the paranormal. I did university settings. I was new to paranormal ghost hunting, because there's a difference between studying investigation, studying real investigation, and ghost hunting. So I had no idea about photography. I was new to night vision cameras, the way they're being used in the ghost hunting field. I did not use EMF meters because we had more advanced technical equipment when we were out in the fields. We used EMF readings. We just did not use EMF meters. So when I went out there, my first images that I caught and I put online, I got ripped apart. I mean, I got ripped apart by these investigators. I learned to be good friends with a lot of them throughout the years. The first one that hit me was Ron Cross. Ron is a very educated man, and the first thing you're ever going to do, Dennis, if you ever run into him, is he's going to say, question everything. Learn to question everything. Learn to question everything. And that's true. So, you know, it's all a part of the process. It really is. We all grow in different ways because we have no training manual. It'd be nice if we did, to be frankly honest. If I could have taken an educational course, boy, that would have cut years off of my life.
That's true. But I also agree with what you told me a long time ago, too. A while back, actually, you know, you're going to have haters, and those haters are telling you you're doing something right. And I agree with that, you know. So in some way, I am doing something right, you know.
Well, yeah, we are all, and this is a lot of people, especially in social media, they take a lot of things wrong. We are all on the right track at one point or another. The thing that people have to remember, and this is something that I think I was telling you this earlier, you can't really take offense to seasoned investigators, because a lot of times they're trying to teach you from what they've learned. But when you're reading it on social media, it becomes really, really blunt. In fact, some of the people that you spoke to, I have the same process with them. We all have. They teach, and they're very educated, but we have to be willing to take in that information and then apply what applies to us. There's not all of them do that. Getting into the negative of social media, there are a handful of people that no matter what you do, they're out there to trash you. And you just got to ignore those, because that shows you are on the right track. But it's a weird field, the paranormal, because you run into a lot of educated people that have been in this 20, 30, some of them 40 and 50 years. And when you start discussing these things with new people, and sometimes old people, they kind of look at it like, yeah, right, that's just, you know, your theory and so forth. But the reality is, when you really dig in, if you get into the science, you get into the books, you get into the research, you get into the past scientists, you get into the histories, and you start diving into the real stuff, you find out that there's this magnificent situation that's been done way before you even got into it. Especially when you're dealing with EVP, audio analysis, history, theology, and even some scientific testing, you start going, wow, I had no idea that, you know, Rad Ive did this, and I had no idea that half a dozen other names I could spout off were actually digging into this. It's not new. And that's something that I tell people all the time, is remember that none of what you're doing is new. It seems new to you, but it's not new.
Yeah.
If you really, really look, you really, really take the time to educate yourself, you decide what classes you want to take. And I've had to do this myself. I still do it. I go to school at least half of the year, believe it or not, in one way, shape, or form. You realize that whether it's a rabbi or whether it's a scientist or whether it's somebody from the past that's already done it, you find this fascinating situation where you had no idea how in-depth it's become that you can apply. And then you go back and go, huh, you know, I really thought I had something here and I didn't, but I do have something here. And that's kind of tough for a lot of people to do. You concentrate on haunted objects. Purchase several haunted objects, I believe, from a group or a couple of groups, actually, to kind of test them.
Actually, it's actually one group out of Florida. I'm really good friends with them.
Yeah, I think, listeners, so that you know, it's Toledo Spirit Hunters. You can find that on Facebook. So if you're curious on it, I won't mention their name because we don't have permission, obviously. But if you're curious on it, you can go there. I think he's got a posting somewhere on the page that shows that they're selling haunted items there. I personally, though I don't have anything against anybody that sells haunted items. I don't purchase haunted items. I usually get them donated when I do any of my testing. But there's a reason behind the theory there. I think I've explained that to you a little bit. And that is because I don't want to know the history. I don't want to know the background. I don't want to know anything about the item. I don't want to know anything about it. I want to sit it down in an isolated room, in an isolated chamber with cameras in every direction and three mics and see what the heck happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
but
there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
It's analytical data, and that's all what real paranormal study is about. Eventually, is analytical data. The more you have to back your situation, the more you have to repeat that situation, the more you have that substantial to that situation, the more you can bring to the community. And this is something that a lot of the ghost hunting community really has forgotten about early on. And the International Paranormal Society, the United British Paranormal Society, and a lot of the conventions, when I first jumped into this, you had a lot of non-media related situations. So whole teams would go out for weeks, months, sometimes years at a time in one location, whether it was a residence that you felt was haunted, a possession you felt haunted, whether it was a building or a haunted object, whatever that was, and you just studied it. That's all you did. You threw every piece of equipment at it you could think of.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Chris. Okay. But you also got your skeptics who don't believe objects are haunted, and they just say you're playing with Barbie dolls. And it's like, okay, you know. Or you got those who don't believe Ouija boards are real. Or you got those who don't believe that dowsing rods don't communicate. And you got those, you know, who believe, you know, SB7 spirit boxes. They don't communicate. It's just radio frequency, you know. But, you know, and I'm not trying to sit here, like I said, I'm not trying to sit here and I'm not trying to knock the scientific, you know, method.
Well, the reality is it's not really everybody defines this as the scientific method. It's not the scientific method. It's real paranormal study. That's the reality of it. Now, here's basically what isn't defined. And this is what I think a lot of young investigators don't understand. So I will explain it a little bit to the listeners out there. I know I've talked to you about it before. What really is going on? Now, people look at it wrong. Everybody in the paranormal community has it wrong. And I've taken slack for this 1,000 times, but it is actually the truth. Everybody in the paranormal community right now has it wrong. They all have it wrong. They're looking in the wrong place. The question is, when you go back to it, for instance, Ouija boards, are Ouija boards real? Do they work? Well, I can tell you they work. And I can give you a scientific explanation on why they work. But why do we still see the experiences? Nobody goes beyond that point. They just go cramming in saying we're speaking to a ghost. But there's more to it. In order to define what a ghost is, because it's a non-physical presence, and non-physical, just so that everybody knows realistically, the definition, the truth about non-physical means it's never going to be present. Time is non-physical. Space is non-physical. Yeah. It's an equation put together so that we can define something that we can't define otherwise. A ghost is non-physical. Therefore, i.e., it's never present. Until you can prove otherwise. Now, how do you come up with that proof? You have to look beyond that term. We're looking for communication with spirits. Do we know it's a spirit? The answer is no. What is it then? If we're getting a definition from a Ouija board, what are we getting? How are we getting it? Why are we getting it? These are the things people get confused a lot of times. So it's not that people are on the wrong track or the right track. It's just they're looking at it wrong. Everybody looks at it a little bit wrong. Spirit boxes do develop communication. They do come up with unique anomalies. Now, I can explain that from being in the audio field. I can tell you exactly how that works, and I can recreate that. However, can I recreate the other experiences that go along with that? If I'm getting a response from a spirit box that gives me a name and something flies off of a wall at the exact same time, telling me it's going to fly off the wall, that's pretty identifiable. And that's an anomaly. Yeah. So you got to look past it and say, okay, what is really going on here? Most people don't measure a lot of that. They go out, they search for a ghost, and they end the story there. And that's where we really need to concentrate more. We really need to concentrate. If the community really truly wants to be taken serious and get beyond the arguments, we need to concentrate on going past what we're looking at. We're looking at the term ghost, and to be frankly honest with everybody, our listeners, investigators that are listening, everybody involved, you're never going to find a ghost when you do that. You're never going to find it, no matter where you go. You're going to get personal experiences, and personal experiences are great. I'm never going to detranslate or tear apart a personal experience. Why? Because it's not my experience. I've had many personal experiences that I can't explain that were phenomenal. But when I'm bringing to the table proof, when I'm bringing to the table, hey, look, I want something tangible. You're not going to find a tangible. You're not going to find tangible evidence with a ghost because we're all looking in the wrong place.
Yeah.
We first have to define what a ghost is, and in order to do that, we have to break down the possibilities of what it's not, as well as the scientific open questions on what it could be by what's left. And most people aren't doing that. I learned that, believe it or not, from the UFO community.
Oh.
I had a very famous scientist in the UFO community that's actually in MUFON. One of his friends are going to be on my show later in September that told me in order to define what a UFO was, we had to first define everything it was not. And that gave me a list of at least 100 million things to go through first. So, yeah, that's crazy. That's what I like to say a lot of times, because everybody can determine something's fake. And let's face it, when you throw something up on social media, you're going to get reamed no matter what you do. Because that's all a part of it. But when you're dealing with haunted objects, when you're dealing with things along those lines, you're in a world most people can't comprehend. Especially because a lot of haunted objects aren't what people think they are. A haunted object can be a lot of different things. As an example, if you go out to the haunted town in Texas or the haunted mines in Texas, a haunted object is a piece of rock. Take it off the land, you're going to have something happen.
Yeah.
You go to OSR, a haunted object could be a pebble or something that you find in the dirt that was left from one of the prisoners. Again, in the reformatory, it's absolutely nothing. Take that home and you might have all kinds of things happen. And these are things I've actually physically seen, from rags to pebbles. We even had a coin that a university tested almost 21 years ago now that was at a location. Now, this is a Civil War coin that was out by Gettysburg that carried magnetic properties, and it literally was a magnet. Now, the minerals in the coin should not have magnetic properties according to the scientific testing, but it did.
Yeah.
That's a haunted object, believe it or not, because it's unexplainable.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that people, I think, don't understand that apply to what you're doing. You know, it goes a little bit beyond just sitting a doll in a corner.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've captured EVPs from these things. I've seen some strange things happen, but nothing really to wow me yet. I mean,
well, you just started studying haunted objects physically, what, less than a year ago or about a year ago?
I had a haunted object from eBay that I bought that I buried in my in-law's backyard, 3 feet in the ground. It had a negative energy attached to it. And because you know how you can go on eBay and you see about 3,000 some odd dowels or items saying, oh, it's haunted, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy this dowel off eBay. I'm going to, you know, test it, see if it is. Well, the first time I investigated it, I used a spirit box. I introduced myself to it. It said my name. It repeated my name back to me. Second time, it slammed my door very violently, and then it came over to spirit box saying that was me, owning up to the door slamming. Third time, nothing really happened, but we usually, I went to, after I investigated the dowel, I would, you know, I would burn sage to cleanse the house a little bit, and we went to go cleanse the house the third time, and my REM pod started going off, which again, you know, electromagnetic device. And you got to be, with the REM pods, and Chris, you know this, and you're probably going to say the scientific thing, method behind it, but you know, you have to be on top of it to really make it light up, like really on top of it. But I had a couple mediums that I'm friends with, and one of them told me that I had a negative energy attached to it, and then I just buried it in a mirror box. So it's I technically still own it, but it's in my backyard, in my in-law's backyard. Then I stepped away from the haunted objects for a while, and then I just concentrated on investigating, like, you know, businesses, residential. And then I was like, you know, and then I was like, well, I wanted to get back into it. So I seen the post on Facebook of the people that I'm really good friends with, and I bought the items off of. Well, so I'm back into it. My goal actually is to open a haunted museum here in Toledo, if I can, you know, get the right item. You know, that's my goal. But it would be awesome. Anything you want?
Well, the thing with haunted investigating objects, I mean, you're going to learn that it's going to take years. I mean, I know a lady that has a haunted object. I won't mention her name because she didn't give me permission, but she's had her object on television. She's talked to many, many TV personalities, and she studied a particular object, the history and so forth, for gosh, it's been almost 8 or 9 years now, because it's a field that takes quite a long period in time. Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing to shoot for those goals. You know, I mean, I would say the best advice that I would have, knowing that you're just starting out, is take the time to really dive into the reality of what the differences are. There's ghost hunting, and then there's real paranormal study. And haunted objects can be a definite part of paranormal study. There's a lot of things that are a part of paranormal study. But it's a long, long road and process. The biggest thing that I've seen with a lot of young investigation teams, especially in the past 10 years, it seems to be pretty regular, I guess you could say, is they don't take the time to really study and really analyze the reality of what paranormal study is. I saw this quite recently in a young team that, you know, they're very professional, but and I never diss any teams, but I will use an example on this. They're very, very professional. However, if they use a device a lot of investigators use, and this is the Kinex camera. Now, the Kinex camera is designed to actually map physical location. and then connect the dots in order for what? It's designed for gameplay. Here's a few things most people don't understand about a Kinex camera. The Kinex camera has a very particular line of sight in its vision, and it will map whatever it takes in order to create the gameplay in it within its software, the camera. Therefore, any movement, any large object, anything that it reflects off of will map into a point. That point will connect to another point, and eventually you'll have a dancing man move around. Now, this has been determined as a ghost because of personal experiences at least 1,000 or 2,000 times. Now, I know from the science involved, because I've taken many, many years to actually tear these apart, being in electronics and audio engineering, I can tell you what's mapping is not a ghost. In fact, I could take it and put it in my basement and get the same reaction most people get. EMF meters are the same way. K2 meters are the same way. Even the objects that are commonly used are the same way. As you start advancing in paranormal study, what you're going to learn, Dennis, is what many people lack and what other people eventually run across. And that is that most everything that's being used right now is not being used the way it should be being used. It was either designed wrong in the first place, or it's inappropriately being operated. We go out into a lot of locations because we want to catch a ghost. Now, the thrill involved in that has brought in a lot of people to the ghost field. That's why most people got involved in it. If I were to ask you why you got involved in it, it's one of two things: a personal experience, or I saw it on TV, or a combination of both. That's the way it is with everybody. So as a young investigator, the biggest advice that I have for everybody going out in their first year is take it very slow. When you're studying haunted objects, dive deeper into the science of how you can study that haunted object. In the old days, when we were investigating, we didn't carry around night vision cameras. I'm just going to be honest about it. We had stationary cameras that could film in the dark, but we didn't carry around a night vision camera to catch another team member. That wasn't the study. You know why a night vision camera was created? A night vision camera was created on television so that you could film yourself. That's what it was used for. Anybody that actually thinks they can take a night vision camera and put it out and catch a ghost, you're wrong. You're not going to catch a ghost. It's not going to happen. The odds are slim to none. Now, I know a lot of listeners tonight are going to go, "What?" And they're going to get angry about it. But that's the reality we're dealing with. A lot of this equipment is useful, if determined and used the proper way. In the old days, if you were to view any of the old videos, and I encourage you, go back, I encourage the listeners, go back and do this. In the old days, when you were actually looking through original videos, you would notice that nobody carried a camera following around anybody else. There were cameras in the room. There were mics in the room. You catch moments, oh my God moments. You'd see somebody grab the stationary camera and stationary it on a burning object, as an example, that just burned for some reason, or somebody was getting scratched. Okay, let's get you near the stationary camera. But in most cases, you would see more people walking around all over the place. Now, why is that? And I can answer that. The data. We were not there to film ourselves. We were there to film the situation so we could collect as much data possible to determine whether something was truly going on. And when you're dealing with haunted objects, that's the biggest advice I could tell you is remember you're there to observe the data. Remove yourself from the situation of thinking it's haunted. This is the best advice I could give anybody. Remove yourself from the situation of thinking it's haunted. Remove yourself from the situation of thinking it's a ghost. In your mind, until that shows up, it's not there. Now, there's a reason behind this. Can you guess the reason?
No.
The reason behind this is if you keep a clear mind and the data equals out to spell the truth, you have the answers you're looking for to both debunk one half of it and keep the other questions open. And this is what a lot of investigators do or don't do, depending on each individual situation. Now, I've met a lot of seasoned investigators that already do this. In fact, some of them have taught me techniques on how to do this that are wonderful people. And I've met a lot of investigators that have been out there for 11 to 12 years, and they still don't do this. But removing yourself from the situation of thinking it's a ghost, as an example, does one thing very important. It allows you to step back and analyze what's going on. When you collect all of the data and information that's around you, and you put it into the subcategories, and then you do the research, you start finding, okay, this is explainable. This is not. I need to get into this more. So let's see if we can match this data repetitively. EVP is a prime example of that. Most people play back an EVP, but they don't look at the audio parameters. They don't look at the hertz. They don't look at the megahertz. They don't look at the levels. And they don't determine what's normal from abnormal. They don't try to physically figure out what's an anomaly from what can be matched with other parameters. I spent 4.5 years actually doing that. And I'll tell you what, it's tedious, guys. If you really don't like audio, don't stand behind a screen all day listening to something and then looking at a bunch of jumping bars. Because it can be a real, real tedious situation. That's the biggest advice I would actually have for a young investigator. I've had a lot of young investigators on my show, just so listeners know. In fact, some of them have been less than 2 years out. Some of them have been about 4 years out. It's always fascinating because I get to talk a little bit about helping them out, and I get a unique perspective because, see, Dennis, you're new. So yeah. Where I have seen a lot of things, you're coming in with fresh eyes. So the eagerness involved in a young investigator, and this is what a lot of senior investigators, I think, don't remember, is because we've been in it for so long, is your eagerness is what drives you. You have a passion right now, and you have an eagerness, and all you want to do is get those questions answered like the rest of us. And seasoned investigators, sometimes I think we forget about that. You know, I was looking back the past few days on a lot of young investigators and a lot of their posts and a lot of how all of us comment on the posts. And I remembered the days when I first started out. And I can tell you, I can be very honest, I got ripped apart. I really did. I learned to accept that, and I learned from a lot of those people. In fact, some of them are very fascinating people that I still learn from today. I have conversations. They've been on my radio show. Some of them are returning to the radio show. And every time I talk to one of them on the phone, in person, or so forth, I learn something new. And they've learned a few things from me now, too. I think we forget about that. I really do. And social media is a rough place, you know, because the first thing we do as new investigators, the first thing I did when I was a new investigator is I was proud of what I was doing. I wanted people to see it. I posted it all over social media. Something I'll tell young investigators, if you do that, get ready and don't get upset or bothered, because you are going to get people that are going to come in and tell you you're wrong. You're going to get dozens of them. And there, a lot of them are doing it out of the nature of wanting to educate, but it doesn't feel that way. I know it didn't feel that way to me. I felt like I was getting told I was fake. I was getting yelled at. I was getting screamed at. It almost threw me out of social media.
Yeah.
A lot of these people, sometimes they're doing this. If you read back through and you look at the way they're explaining things, they're doing this because they've been in our shoes. So they want to educate and tell people. Unfortunately, we don't have a class to do so. So they type it out on social media, and all it does is kind of stump us or gives us the attitude of not wanting to learn or listen. And I can tell you, if you read through a lot of seasoned investigators and what they tell you, and you learn to listen to bits and pieces of that, and then you start looking into the study. Photography is a prime example. When I came into photography, I was a newbie. And what I found dealing with Ron Cross, Jonathan Griffiths, I can name off thousands of people, to be frankly honest with you. What I found out was they gave me bits and pieces and said, hey, this is not what you've got. And at first it got me angry. But then as I started looking through it, and then I started looking on the computer, and I started doing the research, and I started getting the education, then I took a photography school class for a while, I started to realize, okay, I get what they're saying. They're trying to present it on social media in a way to educate me, and I'm taking it the wrong way. So if you take the chance to listen a lot of times and understand that, it becomes a lot easier to accept most of that. And then the few that aren't, meh, screw them. You're always going to have somebody that doesn't like you.
That's true. But I also feel ever since Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters and that, I think that, you know, it's became a paranormal, you know, field. It's become, you know, basically became a gang warfare, because some people are in it for the fame and some people are not, you know. And I just think it's just become a gang warfare. Like, everyone's like jumping at that first, you know, moment to be like, you know, I want my, you know, I want a series on Netflix, or I want a series on Amazon Prime, or I want to be on Travel Channel or TLC. And it's like, you know, and then it kind of makes us look bad in a way, because then, you know, it's just, I really think it's become a gang warfare on social media, because everybody just takes shots at each other and, you know, they're not.
There are two different types of actual situation going on right now. You have the true study and the true investigators, and then you have a standardized business that people don't want to say is standardized. And yes, it is standardized. Now, what do I mean by this? The standardized business that's out there is designed to sell you equipment that, and I'm going to be very frank about this, sell you the equipment that does not work for ghost hunting. There are some pieces of equipment people spend $300 or $400 on out there, just so the listeners are aware, do your research, because I can build the same thing for $5 in my basement. And these are things that I'm not afraid to say. I won't diss the companies for doing it. It's a brilliant business concept. Hoorah for them for doing it. You know, you're making a lot of money off of it. That's a great business concept. Heck, I'm a businessman. I get that. But the reality is, the business has standardized. It's just not in an avenue for study. It's in an avenue for media. It's in an avenue for making money. It's in an avenue for selling tickets. And it's an avenue for selling other items to the average public that doesn't understand the differences. And let's be honest. Let's be upfront. The average person that goes out there to ghost hunt or to do a flashlight tour, you're not doing it because you're in the study. You're doing it for the thrill. Most people that go on TV are doing it because of two things. They're doing it because of the passion. And there are some wonderful people on TV, by the way, and some people that I have seen that aren't so wonderful on TV. But all of them went in there and did it for the passion. Most of the people on YouTube are doing it thinking they're going to get into the same boat. So they're doing it for the fame, like you said there, rather than they're doing it for the fame and the passion rather than the study. And that's where things got lost. It's modernized into a business concept rather than the science. Most of the scientists that I know that were in the field, they're not even around anymore. Or they're sitting in their little universities doing their little things and you don't really hear much from them. In my day when I started, that's all it was. Then we had the big fame takeover on TV, and now everybody wants to be on TV. I'm very blunt on television, by the way, listeners, just so that you're aware. Less than 1% of the people that create television shows ever get on television. And the reality is, you're going to waste most of your money putting together the first 5 episodes so that a production company can pitch that for that less than 1%. So if you think that you're going to actually have a show put on TV, the answer is odds are no. And if you do get on television, let me tell you the honest truth from the people that I have spoken to that are actually on television and the ones that actually did make it throughout a hard career. Odds are you're still going to keep your day job and work the whole time. It takes at least 4 to 5 years to break that mold. After the 4th year or 5th year, if you're lucky, they're picking up the show for you, and then your career physically starts. And that is less than 1%. I can count a handful on my hand. So if you're doing a YouTube channel, if you're out there creating something, do it for your passion. Think about what you're doing. Take a look at that science. Take a look at the reality of paranormal investigation. Dig in deep and actually dive into what you thought that passion was going to be when you started. You went in it to get your questions answered. We all went in it to get our questions answered. So rather than just dive into the popularity, the mass misunderstandings, the misdirections, the myth, take the time to understand it. There's a fascinating community out there and wonderful people within that community that will teach you. But we've gotten lost along the way and in many, many ways. Like you said, a lot of people are out there for the fame. A lot of people want to argue and spat back and forth because of simple disputes. None of that is necessary. I stay out of all of it, to be frankly honest with you, because social drama is not needed in the paranormal. It's a senseless situation. Doesn't have to happen. I'm in it for the study. Now, I help teach, I help guide, I help build, and I help encourage every young person because of that situation. I've gotten a lot of slack through it throughout the years. Reality is, if you're new, it can go one of two ways. And you're new. So what can we do? Well, we can teach you. And if you're willing to learn, then you're going to open all kinds of fascinating doors, or we can dish you and we can tear you down. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get tore down, I don't feel very well.
Yeah.
And rather than make fun of that, if you're willing to learn, then those barriers, there's a way to cross it. There's a way to understand it. There's a way to work with everybody to get those barriers open. You just have to be willing to accept those barriers and accept the ability to learn and understand that, hey, look, if some people are ragging you too bad, then they weren't in it to teach you. Because you've got a road, man. To be honest with you, after 23 to 25 years of doing this, I'd rather be in your shoes than mine. That's a crazy thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
But I'm going to tell you why. When I was young, everything was new. And I had a world to learn. I had a world to learn and a world to listen to and a bunch of people to educate. I had to weed through thousands and thousands of people to do so. I developed my hater army doing that. In fact, I have 2,000 or 3,000 people worldwide that hate me. But I developed some very fascinating friendships with some very educated people that were in it for real science and real study that taught me a lot. The Kelly Bergs, the Terry Rose, the John Griffiths. Yes, even though I know he gets slack from people, Gavin Kelly's taught me a few things. Ron Cross has taught me some things. Ron Cross has been in the business for 23 years. He gets slack from a lot of people. I could name thousands of others, by the way, that I consistently thank on a regular basis on millions and millions of people, the Jack Kinnes, all of you know who you are. Every time you pop up, I say at one point or another, you've taught me one thing or another. And we've all had our roads during that process. In fact, some of you, if you're listening tonight, you're going to laugh because you're going to, yep, I remember those roads, those arguments that Chris and I have had. But each one of you have taught me something that was very fascinating that early on was the most wonderful thing I could have ever had because I listened, because I took the time to think about it and then apply what I believed to what you taught me. And educate myself, take the classes, take the learning, take the time. And it's opened up many, many roads with many, many fascinating people from not only television, but universities, science, a lot of fascinating things that I would have never had a career in if I wouldn't have done it. And this is why I've told you this. Aaron was on my show 9 or 10 months ago. He was only in it for about a year and a half to 2 years in investigation. Told him the same thing. I would love to be 2 years in. I'd love it.
Yeah.
I'd love to be 2 years. You're in a road right now where all you've got is learning. If you open your mind, you're going to find so many fascinating things. Your mind is going to overload.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I'm not saying I don't want to learn. I'm just saying that I think, you know, for the people who want to teach people, they have to take their opinion into consideration too, instead of, you know, this is the way it is, this is the way it has to be. You know, you have to be open-minded to the other person's opinion, what they believe too, you know.
Well, personal experience is all a part of the process, so you have to respect that personal experience. I can give you the educated portion. You could send me over a photo, and I've done this many, many times, or a video tomorrow, and I could give you the breakdowns to it. I could tell you, okay, from an audio, scientific audio standpoint, here's what you're listening to. However, that doesn't discredit your personal experience. What it does is tell you what to look for. Okay, this is what to look for in science. Now, this is also why I backed, and I think you saw me do this today because I do this every time. This is also why I back it with when somebody comes back and tells you specific things like this is what I think it is, this is what I think it is, this is what I think it is from 5 years of experience. The best way to do that is the same way that I learned to apply it. And I got this advice from John Griffiths and Ron Cross, so I'll be more than glad to repeat it and pat them on the back for it. Rather than consider it as an insult, I took the information that they gave me and I applied it to my science. Okay, if they believe what I got isn't real and I believe what I got is real, the easiest way to do this is to apply more methods to find out what I got and if it's real. So in a situation, for instance, that you have haunted dolls, let's say you have haunted dolls in an area, you believe you've caught an EVP, right?
Yeah.
That means that EVP should be repeatable. If the doll is haunted and wants to communicate, you should be able to get it multiple times on the same audio parameters that is not contamination. If you set up static mics in the area, and I've literally done this, set up different static mics at different variables, set up the equipment to do so, get yourself an audio program and set it on record 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Set up stationary cameras in the area that, in a non-disturbed area and let those cameras run. Take that evidence and put it together. If you have a repeat reoccurring situation that you can't decipher as something that's contamination around the area, something else is going on. If you take that doll and take it to another extreme, put the doll in a Faraday cage. Put the recorders out. Put the video cameras out and see what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a Faraday cage reduces all of the external audio contamination with the exception of literally taps or scrapes that can be done in the room. If you take that, the taps, the scrapes, and the noises that can be done in the room, which is standard audio contamination, and you match that with the standard audio contamination levels and it doesn't match, and you're still getting a voice that comes over that, by God, you've got something. Nobody can contest it.
Yeah.
See, these are the things early on that we don't think about as new investigators. The reason we don't think about it is because you're getting the side where people are trying to explain or debunk something, but you're not getting the side to explain how to do it. So when you start off, well, what do you have? I have a video camera, I have a laptop, and I have an EVP recorder, and if I'm lucky, I have an EF meter or a K2 meter, right?
I have a REM pod, I have a ghost meter, K2. I don't trust K2s. I don't hardly use it. What else do I have? Yeah, a laptop, two voice recorders, three GoPro cameras, and I have an SLS camera and two IR cameras and a puck, or a normal puck. I don't know if you heard of it.
Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of the standard basic equipment, but you haven't really had anybody stand back and say, okay, now that you've done this, take a look at the scientific research and so forth. So the reason I mention that, all the listeners that are out there, the easiest way to educate any young investigator is to provide them the materials that they need. One of the easiest ways that I learned was having people physically show me Rad Eye's work, video camera work. I had people sending me links to photography information, you know. Send them all of the information that they can. Now, in a point where that happens, what I would recommend for you, Dennis, is read it all.
Okay.
A lot of people don't do that. But when you do that as an educated investigator, you're educating the people on what they should do. It's like orbs. Well, if I send you all the parameters from Sony and Kodak, and then I send you a physical manual that explains an orb is dust or a bug, and this is why, and I still want to call it a ghost, well, I've done what I can. There's always going to be that 1-2% that they want to say their personal experience is a ghost because that's what they want to believe, and that's great. You know, I'm never going to diss your personal experiences from that. I am going to tell you the orb is not a ghost.
Yeah.
That's the advice that I give a lot of people, actually. You know, take in the advice, and listeners, as educated investigators, feed the advice in a way where you can go, okay, I know I'm probably right here, but let me show you how you can figure out I'm right. Let me send you the manuals. Let me send you the audio parameters. Let me show you what hertz and megahertz is. Let me show you what the frequency variables are. And then if they're willing to read it, hey, I'm telling you, noobs, if you're out there, read this stuff, and you're going to start registering what the senior investigators are telling you. You're going to start registering what the scientists are telling you. And then your doors are going to open up so amazing you have no idea. I can explain it 1,000 times, and I'm always going to get the person who goes, yeah, right. But you're going to open up doors, and you're going to go, dude, I get it. I get what they're talking about on the History Channel. I get what they're talking about on this channel. When you go above and beyond the standard ghost investigation. Well, Dennis, I know that we're running down on the last 5 minutes, and we've kind of just been talking back and forth here because that's what Paranormal Truth and Reality is about. But let's talk a little bit about where the people can find you, what you're going to do here in the next few months, and so forth, because that way, you know, those listeners that want to listen to you, or those listeners that maybe even want to send you some information since you're new to the art, can feel free to do so. I know I've got a lot of people that are fairly famous to study haunted collectibles. They may even give you some advice there. In fact, I told a few of them to feel free to listen tonight so that they can send over some information to you, because some of them have been studying haunted. Well, shoot, some of them have their own museums. I won't mention names, but some of them have their own museums and have been studying haunted objects for years.
Yeah. They can find me on Facebook at Cleosphere Hunters. We have a website, which is www.cleospherehunters.com. People can also email me, too, at cleospherehunters@yahoo.com. In the next few months, we're working on a location in Adrian, Michigan that an owner owns. We're trying to get a date for that. We're planning on staying the night there. The same owner that owns that is where we were last Sunday in Luna Pier at a location. So we're working on that to set a date for that. I also have like 3 paracons coming up in September and October. Other than that, there is nothing really going on. I'll probably just be, again, you know, studying my haunted objects, and, you know, that's about it, really. I mean,
it takes a while to build investigations. It's a path that, that takes many, many years to get into organizations and to get the right channels and get a feel for the right people. And of course, building teams are always an effort in itself. So,
I mean,
we haven't had much of a chance for a pause, but listeners, you're listening to BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the largest and oldest digital radio stations, actually out here on the internet right now. So I do encourage you, if you're ever thinking of a podcast or a radio show, go with the best first. Go with BBS. Donald is a wonderful person, along with his brother. They'll take very good care of you. A little bit of a side note, the investigation is full for Ohio State Reformatory. We are doing this August 26th. Generation Truth and Team Rat will be leading the investigation. We intend to do several scientific studies. We're going to have some new equipment out there from a very new equipment designer that just got bought out. So I do encourage you to tune in for a lot of the advertisements we're going to have. And if you're actually there early on the tour, sometimes you get a chance to jump into the cafeteria. So make sure to take a look at his setup. We're actually running down to the last couple of minutes. Dennis, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show. Make sure that you tune in. You know, well, it's not a problem. I enjoy having young investigators on. I like to talk shop a little bit, get their opinions, and it never hurts to, you know, tell you that there are people that are out there into your court. I understand. I was a young investigator once myself, and I like to give the advice to people to tell them to learn, because if you don't listen and learn, and if people don't take the time to understand that you're new and have to listen and learn, then, well, you never advance in the paranormal. It just becomes one big one big dramatic bunch of nonsense. So
that's true.
And we don't need that. We need scientific study. We need to get back to what the paranormal is really about. Well, that's our show tonight. You've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We were here with Dennis Hagen from Toledo Spirit Hunters. Next week, I'm going to have a very exciting guest if everything works out right. So pay attention to the broadcast advertisements on BBS Radio, Facebook, and a few other situations for those posts. A little bit of a side note, just so that everybody's aware, in the last couple of minutes, I know that anybody that's paid attention to my social media websites and probably a few of my university settings and so forth throughout the couple of weeks, yes, I have invested in a small digital broadcast radio station called WCGT. This does not mean, just so that everybody is aware, in any way, shape, or form, the Paranormal Truth and Reality will be moving at all from BBS Radio. We are quite pleased with Donald. We are just simply an investor in a new radio show that's going to talk a little bit about science and many other things that's local here in the state of Ohio, with some wonderful people that are going to be on the lineups. And I do encourage you to listen to BBS and Paranormal Truth and Reality. And, of course, tune into WCGT if you get a chance. But BBS is a wonderful station, so make sure that you understand we are here to stay. That's our show, so I'll end this just like I do every single week, everybody. In the paranormal, as you're learning, whether you're a young investigator or whether you're a seasoned investigator, truth and that study should always be that reality we're looking for. Move past the fact that you're thinking about a television show or a ghost hunter and so forth, and think about why you really got into it. And the reality is, once you do that, if you're truly in it to look for questions, we can all work together. That's our show. We'll talk to you next week. It's been a great time.